Welcome to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. On this episode, we're going to meet the newest member of the Winnipeg Sea Bears, Darius Days, and also chat with the winning head coach of the Winkler Flyers. They just took home their first Turnbull Cup title in 26 years. Justin Falk talks to us about the experience on the podcast. In the meantime, the Winnipeg Sea Bears continue to round out their roster, adding American forward Darius Days. The 6'7", 245-pound 24-year-old from Florida went to LSU for 4 years, became one of 10 players in program history with 1,300 points and 800 rebounds, joining the likes of Shaq, Bob Pettit, and Glenn Big Baby Davis. Spent 3 games with the Spurs in the NBA Summer League in 2023, then joined the Rio Grande Valley Vipers, Houston's affiliate in the G League the past couple of years. I should have said he was in the Spurs Summer League in 2022. He was with the Houston's affiliate in the G League the last 2 years. He got into 4 NBA games this past season with the Rockets, then returned to the G League where he was named Player of the Month in March. So he's played 64 pro games in his career. He's averaged 18.5 points per game, 8 rebounds per game. Now coming to Winnipeg to join a Sea Bears roster that's honestly looking pretty contender worthy. And earlier today, I caught up with Darius from Atlanta.
Have you ever been to Winnipeg before?
I have not been to Winnipeg before.
What do you know about it?
I know exactly nothing about it. I know it's great fans. I know it's great games. You know, Coach Taylor has sent me some great information about the city. But, you know, other than that, I've never been to Winnipeg or heard about Winnipeg.
That's fair. You know, people in Florida probably don't get taught a whole lot about the middle of Canada. But I'm curious how this came about that you'd become a Winnipeg Sea Bear.
That's a great question. You know, I talked to Coach Taylor. He reached out and, you know, he expressed some liking to me. Also, he also lives in Florida as well. So, I mean, you know, that Florida connection was there. You know, he's also coached around, you know, Rio Grande Valley. So, you know, a lot of guys know him. So a lot of guys reached out and asked me about him. He asked about me. So we got on the phone, talked for a little bit, and, you know, it was a great talk. And, you know, now I'm about to be a Winnipeg.
So the idea of playing in the Canadian Elite Basketball League, did you have any prior knowledge of this circuit before now?
A couple of my friends have played up there. So, you know, I've asked about it, and they told me great things about it. You know, Coach Taylor also gives me good information about, you know, some of the guys that have played in the league. So
I've heard
nothing but good things.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know as we look not too far ahead. The season starts in less than a month. So what's your next few weeks look like for you in terms of getting up here and getting used to playing in this environment?
I'm just getting prepared, you know, physically and mentally, and, you know, trying to give the fans and, you know, Coach Taylor and the other guys the best version of myself and, you know, putting my right foot forward and, you know, being able to be a team guy, you know, a great teammate, good locker room guy, and, you know, play hard and win some games and hopefully, you know, we win this championship this year.
What do you know about to the target score ending? Have you ever played with the target score ending before?
I have played with a target score ending in the G League. Is, you know, whatever the point score at that time, they put 90 minutes on the clock and the, you know, first team that scores 7 buckets wins the game. But, you know, I think it's a little different in the league. So
yeah, it is a bit different up here where whatever the score is with 4 minutes to go, you add 9 and it's first to get to that score, add 9 to the team score that's in the lead. So if it's 90 to 80, the first team to get to 99 would be the winning team, regardless of how long it takes. So the cool thing is that every game ends on a bucket, which is one of my biggest likings of it, because it just adds excitement that way.
Right. Yeah, I definitely like that. Also, like, you know, Coach Taylor has sent me a couple guys that made game winners. So, you know, I'm excited about the target score. And like you said, you know, we have to get a bucket to win the game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I'm definitely excited.
How would you describe yourself as a basketball player?
Oh, man, that's a great question. Hard playing, you know. I'll sacrifice my body for my teammates, take charges, dive on the floor, dive in the crowd, you know, can be able to stretch the floor, shoot the ball from three-point range, you know, also by playing inside, you know, back to the basket, face-up game. Mid-range a little bit, you know, get to the bucket off the dribble a little bit. So, you know, I feel like I'm a Swiss Army knife. So, you know, I bring a lot to the table as well on the defensive end by being in the passing lanes, offensive, defensive, rebounding.
So this team last year was a very high-scoring, high-flying, playing with a lot of pace team. I'm not sure if that's going to be the case this year, but I guess we'll find out. What have you been told by Mike Taylor about what the philosophy is for the season? Or are you willing to share that? Is that confidential information that you're not supposed to tell us?
No. He just, you know, play within the team, you know, help us and do what got you here. And, you know, just play within the team, no selfish ball, you know, make sure everybody's getting there, having fun and doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, everybody has fun. So, you know, if we do that, we win all these games and we're able to get to that championship game. So
what did you learn about yourself playing in a couple NBA games this year?
Just be patient and let everything come to you. Everything does not happen on your time, and you just got to, you know, pick your spots where, you know, score the ball, rebound the ball, you know, and just let your instincts show.
Do you feel like you belonged when you were in those games? Or was it overwhelming? How would you describe the feeling when you were on the floor in the NBA?
It's actually fun, and it's actually faster than most people would think. It's exciting, but the first time you step on the floor, it's kind of, you know, I'm really on an NBA floor. And then, you know, the reality kicks in. You know, we've been playing basketball our whole entire lives. So, you know, we get, you know, get up and down a couple times, and you just like, you know, it's a regular basketball game. So, you know, it's not really overwhelming. It's just like, you know, wow. At first, it's just like, wow, I'm really on an NBA floor. But, you know, after a while, you know, you've been playing basketball forever. So all the jitters just leave.
So you've played NBA Summer League, NBA G League, the four NBA games we've mentioned. Why Canada this summer as opposed to NBA Summer League? Or are you doing both? What's the plan here in terms of how the schedules work out?
Just taking it week by week, day by day. You know, I'm not going to really speak too much into the future. You know, it's a long time before that happens. So, you know, I'm just going to take my time and just go day by day.
So I asked you about Winnipeg and what you know and don't know, but what about Canada as a whole? What do you know about this country?
Not really too much. I've been to Toronto like twice or three times. Other than that, I really don't really know too much about the country. Other than that.
I can tell you it's just above freezing today, if that makes you feel better.
Oh, no, sir. And Winnipeg is freezing right now?
Yeah, I think it's like 3 degrees Celsius, so it'd be like 37 Fahrenheit, I guess. 38.
Yeah, we don't have those problems in Florida. You know, 40 degrees is like really freezing for us.
Now you're gonna be here for the summer, so it does get pretty hot in the summertime. But you might want to wait a couple weeks, because if you're from, you know, you're in Atlanta right now. You're from Florida. You went to school at LSU. I'm guessing you like it warm.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, how I was looking, how it sounds, definitely I love it warm.
Teddy Allen, is that a player that you're familiar with?
Actually, me and Coach Taylor actually talked about it. Me and Teddy, we had an NBA workout for the Clippers together 2 years ago. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that we're coming back together in Winnipeg. It's really crazy.
What do you notice about his game there? Because he was the MVP last year in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen and I've heard. You know, I heard a lot of good things about him. You know, he's a real good guy. And, you know, he's a great scorer, you know. And that's what I like about him the most. He's a great scorer.
Where would you say your most comfortable spot to shoot on the floor is? Where's your range?
Oh, man. I really feel comfortable at every spot on the floor. I really enjoy the wings and the top of the key for the most part, but the corners seem, you know, very easy as well. But, you know, I like shooting everywhere on the outside.
And not afraid to get inside too, right?
Not even.
All right, Darius. Well, on that note, I will let you go. Appreciate you coming on tonight, and we'll see you in Winnipeg in a couple weeks.
No problem. Thank y'all for having me.
Not sure why his phone started to feel speakerphony midway through that. But anyway, that is Darius Days of the Winnipeg Sea Bears, who begin their season in just a few weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks away from 3 weeks from Wednesday is their opening game in Saskatoon against the Rattlers, their home openers, 3 weeks from this upcoming Friday, taking on the Scarborough Shooting Stars. What a night in Winkler, Friday night. The Flyers hosting the Steinbeck Pistons in Game 4 of the MJHL Championship Series. The Turnbull Cup was in the house as the Flyers searched for their first title since 1998. And leading 3-0, it could be the night. They scored 13 seconds in, but Steinbeck answered with a pair of goals before Winkler scored 3 in a row heading to the third. But just shy of the midway point of the third, the Pistons made it 4-3. And with just 39 seconds left, it scored again to send it to OT, but two penalties in 16 seconds gave the Flyers a long 5-on-3, and they took advantage.
Trent Penner, cutting up ice, over, back! Zach Nicklaus gets the overtime winner, and the Winkler Flyers, after 26 years, snap the drought!
Yes, Zach Nicklaus, the hero, with his 6th of the postseason, the Flyers are indeed Turnbull Cup champs. The head coach and GM of the team is Justin Falk, a veteran of 279 NHL games whose pro career ended with a stint with the Belleville Senators in 2019. Now the 35-year-old former defenseman who spent time in the MJHL back in the day with Swan Valley is the man who helped guide the Flyers to the promised land. And earlier today, I spoke with the native of Snowflake, Manitoba.
What have the last few days been like since winning the Turnbull Cup for you? Was there a moment to just kind of step back and breathe for a moment after taking home the trophy?
You obviously you get home a little bit later on Friday after an overtime win, and Saturday and Sunday you're right back in it with your family as you have some other festivities going on and extracurriculars with your own kids. So there hasn't been a whole lot of time to slow down and reflect, and we're back at the rink today on the ice again as we begin our prep for next week. So it's been a good busy few days, and that's just the time of year we're in.
So going into the final, these were the two top teams in the MJHL, right? You'd played a number of times this year, but was a sweep something you expected or could happen?
I don't necessarily know any of us would have expected it. I think our game kept growing the right way as it needed to down the stretch. And then obviously we had a couple of good tests and some playoff rounds in the first round with Portage, and especially in the second round against Verdun was a very tough series, and it kind of prepped us for the finals. To be honest, I thought our team as a whole played a bit better hockey in the semifinals than we did in the finals even. So was a sweep on anyone's mind? No, it was some close hockey, a couple overtime games. So we got a few bounces and it ultimately ended up in a sweep, but it could have gone a few different directions at different points.
So where do you think the series changed in your team's favor? What was the difference in this one?
You know, the level of resiliency and, even keel that our team was able to have. We were able to win every overtime game we played in. I think we had 5, 2 of them in double overtime, 1 in quad overtime. Multiple times we were down in the game and came back and found a way to win. So just the inner belief, we had some good learning lessons throughout each round, how we responded in game 2 in our first round with not an effort we needed after winning game 1, being too high and not staying even keel enough. And ultimately, we were down 2-1 in the second round versus Verdun and had to rally there with some good adversity we faced in game 4 before ultimately winning that one. So the boys, it was a mature group. We worked hard to prep them the best of our abilities and staff over the course of the year to ensure that they could handle that in the room, because it's about the guys in the room this time of year, and they were able to handle any wave that they came across.
Yeah, you finished the postseason on a 7-game win streak, 5 of those wins in overtime. That's quite the run. The game 1 of the Turnbull Cup final was a 1-goal game and a 2-goal game in game 2. You also won your last 6 road games. The only road game you lost was your first one in Portage in game 2 of that first round series. What does it say about this group that they can go in any barn and it doesn't matter, they can get the job done?
Yeah, it's a testament to our group here, especially a lot of our 20s and a few 19-year-olds that have been here for 3 years now, and really understanding the the culture that's been trying to be built here and the standard that's been set. It's just prepped them to be ready for these hard environments that you walk into. And that's what was exciting, is never did we really doubt throughout the playoffs as the course of a coaching staff as far as what do we need to do, or why are things not working in this moment. We trusted in our foundation that we built. We trusted in our system and structure and what we built. Yes, did we make some tweaks and changes because, you know, Portage plays different than Verdun and Steinbeck plays different than Portage and Verdun. We had to make some systematic adjustments, and our group was ready to buy in quickly with those adjustments, and it helped set us up to have a bit of success.
Now, the fact that Steinbeck was playing its home games in Niverville in the final, as opposed to La Broquerie, where they'd played this whole year. Niverville is in your division two, the Nighthawks. Did that, in your feeling, in the two games played there, kind of limit their home ice advantage? How did that change anything, or did it change anything?
I don't know if it really would change anything, to be honest. It was nice to have a finals in our league being played on an arena that's full size everywhere you went. And it's nothing on the situation that Steinbeck and La Broquerie have been in the past. It's just it's really nice to have important, meaningful playoff series like an NJHL finals being played on a regular size ice sheet. Mind you, you have to make adjustments whatever environment you're in. But it was exciting. It was a good atmosphere. Steinbeck did a great job in Niverville as far as hosting games with security and fan support and their game day ops. They did a great job there. So it was a good environment, and it was an environment we're familiar with, like you touched on, us having to play Niverville throughout the regular season.
What's it been like in Winkler over the past few weeks to go on this run to win the first title since 1998? What's the atmosphere in that town right now?
It's pretty at an all-time high right now. Obviously when we won there, you take a step back on the ice. You're in a bit of a different emotional state as a coach than when you were as a player. But the amount of people that were in the facility that day that ended up on the ice after the game, the smiles. I know I even took my wife's vehicle into the tire shop this morning. She had a nail in it, and people won't stop talking about it. So these are people that have been loyal fans, loyal corporate supporters for many years, and they've just been waiting and chomping at the bit for a moment like this. So it was kind of a bit of a storybook ending the way it all went. It was a bit of a drizzling day, and fans were waiting outside till from 2 o'clock on in the rain in the line, hoping to get a seat with the capacity and to have a goal 14, 15 seconds in, and some goals right before intermissions, and to have it to go into overtime and to win at home. There was just a lot of things that happened to go right for us that night that ultimately made it a great experience for this community.
Yeah, to win on home ice on an OT winner, I mean, you can hardly ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, no, we talk a little bit in the back of staff here from our playing days, and winning at home is hard. The pressure was ultimately on us throughout the course of that game. Yes, you might look at Steinbeck being down 3-0 in a series, but at that point, you're going all in with not much to lose, and they battled hard, and they showed resiliency and came back and tied the game and all that. So you could definitely tell there was a bit of nervousness within our group, but rightfully so when you're trying to find that fourth win to ultimately seal the deal of your season. So it was exciting. It was a great atmosphere. If you've been able to follow along on any of our social media platforms or watch online, it's a truly second to none environment for a place to play, and it's due to the fans and the community that we have.
I should have mentioned, too, it was on a Friday night. I mean, what more could you ask for to have a great weekend in Winkler? So the unique part of this compared to, winning the Stanley Cup would be you're not done yet. You win the title, but there's more. And so how do you celebrate while also recognizing, okay, we're done, it's time to move on?
Well, it's funny you touched on that. Often throughout the course of our coaching careers here, especially early, do we have to, reflect on our own personal playing careers. Obviously, we have a staff that's a bit diversified in their pro playing careers and junior playing careers. And I mentioned to the guys today, this is the exact same situation I was in when I was their age. We swept the Lethbridge Hurricanes in the Western Hockey League finals when I was in Spokane there, and we had 8, 9, 10 days to make sure we stayed sharp before we left for the Memorial Cup. So it's kind of the same situation here now. I can draw from a bit of my playing experience within, but we got a good leadership group here. And like I said, we're back on the ice today. Guys are excited to get the cobwebs out of the body and the aches and the pains and everything from a playoff grind. So we'll have the balance of making sure our conditionings and our compete is where it needs to be in due time here, but making sure we're getting some rest and handling things properly as well too.
And you won that Memorial Cup, right? So you've got the champion's point of view.
Yeah, absolutely. And a few of our guys were hoisting the trophy, and it started to get a little wobbly and loose. I'm like, oh boy, not again, because I was part of that team years ago that the Memorial Cup broke in half when our captain Chris Bruton raised it in Kitchener, Ontario. So too many flashback memories there, but it's been exciting. And like we tell these guys when they first get to training camp, you think it's fun here now, wait till this place and you get to play here in March and April, you won't believe what it's like. And they get to experience that, the fan base, the support, an electric environment, and ultimately they were able to be rewarded with a win.
So I'm curious why you wanted to get into coaching after your NHL, AHL career was done.
Yeah, it was a bit of a unique situation. I wasn't really looking to get into anything. I was 1 year out of retirement, and I actually spent a year helping my dad on the farm. I grew up on a grain farm in Snowflake, Manitoba, and one thing led to another where through different parts of, you know, beginning of COVID and just prior to that, where we in the organization was in a bit of a state where it needed a bit of help and support and a bit of a rebuild, so to say. And they asked for my help to come on and try to keep this place viable and where it could be in the community. So we did a lot of good work, a board of directors level, did a lot of good work, invested a lot of time and we had to figure a lot of things out fast. I wasn't given more than a napkin of trying to figure out how this all works as a coach and a GM. So just proud of all the support group that came on board. I've had a lot of great help, the assistants that have been involved here, the friends that have stepped up in different areas to lend a hand has been great.
Did you ever envision yourself as a coach while you were playing? Is that something that you had interest in, or did it just spring upon you at the end there?
Yeah, just sprung upon me in the end there. I definitely understand in my own character traits and tendencies of why coaching, why I can end up doing that here as an older guy and a leader, especially kind of towards my tail end of my career there. And you reflect back of when I was in Cleveland and Lake Erie, we won a Calder Cup there, and I was in a veteran supportive role there as well. So I'm definitely a relational person and like to connect with people and try to push and get the most out of everyone around me. And like I said, I can't speak highly of the group we have in the room here and not just the locker room, but in the office here as well.
Well, I can't let you go without asking you about Snowflake, because A, it's a great name for a place, but B, how big, or maybe I should ask, how small is Snowflake?
Yeah, you're better off asking how small is it. It's a very tiny little, it's not even really a community anymore. We had a little shed there as an arena growing up that my dad would put ice in, and I would drive the snowmobile down there in wintertime and pull the water tank around and sweat with the blue jeans on it type story. That's what I grew up in. I had six kids and migrated in Crystal City. So it was a bit of a different upbringing, but it wouldn't be anything. And dad's waiting for a little bit of help with the air seater, but I still got a few more weeks of work here with the Flyers. So we'll keep pushing and ready to start right now when I can as well, too.
Well, Justin, congrats on winning the Turnbull Cup. Great success, and best of luck at the Centennial Cup as you head to Oakville in May.
No problem. Appreciate the call. Thank you.
That is Justin Falk, head coach and GM of the Winkler Flyers. They open the Centennial Cup against the SIJHL champs at 11 a.m. May 9th in Oakville, Ontario.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the CJOB Sports Show podcast. If you like what you heard, guess what? You can hear more every weeknight on CJOB from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Thanks again for tuning in. Subscribe if you'd like. We're available on iTunes and other places, I'd imagine. So farewell until we meet again.
Come on, and thanks for all the fish. So sad that it should come to this. We try to warn you all, but